Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's February the 20th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Chuck Grassley says a farm bill is at hand. What would you say to an ethanol pipeline to the Northeastern Corridor? And the White House, in its waning months, wants Congress to reauthorize the TPA. That's Trade Promotion Authority. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then, don't forget, just after the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. He'll help us take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Mark Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $10.20, down 16 for the day. The May futures at 10.33.5, 14 lower. And July contract at 9.54.5, down 5.25. March corn futures at 5.23.5, 3.5 cents higher. May futures up 3.5 at 5.36. And July corn at 5.47.5, up 3.25. December corn up 3 cents at $5.48. March soybeans 13.97¾, down 3/4. The May at 14.17, down 3/4. And July futures 3/4 higher at $14.30¾. November soybean futures $13.66, up 5.5 cents for the day. Bean meal futures March contract at 360.40, down $1.30 this afternoon. May futures at 366.60, 2.30 lower on the afternoon. March bean oil at 60.68, 47 higher, and the May futures at 50 higher. Finished at 61.47. February live cattle $92.75, 70 cents higher. April futures at 94.95, up $1.25 for the day. March feeder cattle are lean hogs, that is, at $65.75. They finished the day up 55 cents. Now the feeder cattle, the March contract there at 105.65, up 75 for the day, and the April live cattle futures finished at $94.95. They were $1.25 on this Wednesday afternoon. Taking a look at the outside markets for the afternoon, crude oil futures marching sharply higher today, now at $100.60 a barrel, up 59 cents. The April futures at $100.65, up 95 on the afternoon. CRB index at 396.24 is up 99, and the U.S. dollar at 76.151 is up 0.108. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,445 is just about 104 points higher for the day. A quick look at what's been happening in the world of weather across the two-state region. Lake effect snow and blowing snow advisory is in effect for portions of northwestern Indiana through this evening. A winter storm watch is in effect for portions of southwestern Illinois from Thursday morning through Friday afternoon, and for the rest of southern Illinois, extreme southwestern Indiana from Thursday morning through late Thursday night. Tonight in northern Indiana, it'll be mostly cloudy. Some lake effect snow showers in southern Illinois becoming mostly cloudy with sleet, freezing rain and snow arriving after midnight. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 15 below zero in northwestern Illinois to 20 in the southern part of Indiana. Thursday in extreme southern Illinois, cloudy, some freezing rain, a little sleet. In the remainder of the south, cloudy, some snow early, then sleet, freezing rain and snow. In central sections, becoming mostly cloudy. Some light snow flurries arriving in the north, partly sunny. Highs will range from 10 in the northwestern parts of Illinois to near 30 in the far southern part of the state. The extended forecast calls for extremely cold conditions and brutal wind chills that should stress livestock, especially in the northern parts of Illinois, over the next few mornings. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baesdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Joining us on a Wednesday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of the ag futures is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about the marketplace. Where do you want to start this afternoon? Corn, crude oil?
Let's talk about crude oil. Okay. Generally, on our day off on President's Day, I did listen to a little blurb on Bloomberg. They were interviewing my hero in the crude oil trading market, T-Bone Pickens, and they asked Mr. Pickens, will we see $100 crude oil in the coming year? And he said, yes, I think it will get there. Nobody told, of course, old T-Bone that it was going to happen the next day or the following day as far as the $100 mark was concerned. Basically, he was bullish, and, you know, there is a supply problem in the world. OPEC basically blanked, and they're slowing production down to keep prices high, and that's the reason we're over the $100 a barrel mark here today. Also, I think it did have an influence on the corn market today with high-priced fuel. We think of corn and ethanol, and also I think that basically helped rally the corn market late in the day. Generally speaking, the commodities have been on a very definite price rally since the middle of last week based on the Chinese vegetable oil demand, and it seems like now all of a sudden we do have the wheat market under control, but the market is on pins and needles waiting for the Ag Forum least reports and lectures that will be coming out of that important event on Thursday and Friday of this week.
We're trading up near the highs and into highs for soybeans, up and near the highs for corn. What is your make of this particular move? Can we continue to push much
higher? One popular newsletter mentioned today that basically the soybean demand since early summer, late summer, fall time, with China basically buying boatloads of beans out of the U.S. and South America to build inventory, basically buying boatloads of vegetable oil, bean oil, and palm oil around the world. And, you know, we're talking about just soybean oil demand up over 117% over a year ago, vegetable oil over 43%, beans up over 33% of U.S. purchases alone this coming year. So the topic is that we do anticipate a pretty good soybean crop, maybe record out of Argentina and Brazil this year, and that'll give us maybe 6 to 8 million metric tons more than we had a year ago. And there is indications that we are going to increase production down there a year from now from reports that the Amazon jungle is being cleared and things like that. But in the meantime, the Chinese demand has pushed this bean market basically from $10 early in the late in the harvest time frame there up until now $14 plus. So it's a $4 bushel. Somebody said grain robbery, but I consider it a $4 push because of demand.
Are you getting comfortable with $4 and $5 corn and beans in the teens at this
point? I think it is based, you know, when we look at the acreage and the amount of acreage that we need in the short term and long run, I do think we are comfortable with corn prices and certain commodity prices being really strong for the next couple of years here. And we're looking at a deal where unless the USDA comes up with some policy to encourage the CRP to come out, they're very reluctant. There's a lot of turmoil in Washington with political problems. leadership in Congress, and it doesn't seem like there's much action there. When we are out talking to farmers, you know, at these outlook meetings that we're having, the two questions that we get most often is they're hearing about these tremendous margin calls that the country elevators are making, and the margin calls and the amount of money that's being moved around in Chicago. And the second one is they're very nervous about losing demand, you know, because we do like to raise corn and soybeans, and we like to have a ready market in it. It makes them nervous when we hear that Smithfield's having problems with demand and the chicken people are losing money and things like that. So everybody is aware of it, and really the USDA is very reluctant to let, you know, 2, 3, 4 million acres out of the CRP to kind of quiet this thing down. So that's the big news that we're picking up out in the country.
And it doesn't look like they're going to let it out of the CRP at all. Ed Schaefer seems to think that it's okay to keep running along as we are.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe we are seeing signals of, you know, Russia coming in with massive acres of wheat next year, and we maybe are seeing evidence of bigger acreage of soybeans. But the corn demand, you know, when we take surveys out here, people do, you know, our surveys indicate more beans being planted and some less, you know, smaller acres of corn. So corn acreage does seem to be smaller. It'll be interesting to see if Washington picks up what we're picking up here in central Illinois.
Paul, we appreciate you being with us for
the
day.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Be sure to mark your calendars for March 4th, the date of our all-day Agricultural Outlook meeting. We'll be at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You won't want to miss our nationally acclaimed lineup, including Dan Bossi and Glenn Ring. And we've got sessions on spring weather, estate planning, crop insurance, and corn and soybeans basis and futures. Registration on March 4th begins at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 7:15 a.m. Central. Cost is just $13. The 2008 All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting is made possible with support from Cargill, the Archer Daniels Midland Company, and the Andersons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027. Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment to take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Iowa Senator Charles Grassley says he thinks farm bill negotiators are close to reaching an agreement. Grassley says farm bill conferees are considering funding between $8 and $10 billion over the baseline. In Grassley's words, "I think it's real easy to compromise at $9 billion above benchmark." Grassley says final figures on payment limits for commodity programs or income eligibility are not being discussed at the present time.
Those will not be settled until two things happen. One, what's the total figure of the budget? In other words, how much above baseline? That's paramount to reach an agreement on that. And then after that's done, staff will work out some technical, less controversial things. And what you asked me about, the payment limitations, et cetera, are controversial and be decided at the members' level. And that can't take place until a week from today.
Meanwhile, House Agriculture Chairman Colin Peterson says involvement of other legislative committees has muddied the Farm Bill debate. Peterson says he wants to make sure that agriculture programs remain under the jurisdiction of the Agriculture Committee. Two U.S. oil products pipeline companies say they have launched an assessment on whether to build what would be the first dedicated ethanol pipeline from agriculture centers in the Midwest to the heavily populated U.S. Northeast. The companies, Magellan Midstream Partners LP and Buckeye Partners LP, say the proposed pipeline, with a preliminary cost estimate of more than $3 billion, would span about 1,700 miles and take several years to build. Upon completion, the pipeline could have the capacity to supply about 4.5 billion gallons of ethanol per year, gathering ethanol from production facilities in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and South Dakota to serve terminals in major markets such as Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and New York. The assessment could be completed later this year. The U.S. Trade Representative says the White House plans to ask Congress for a new authorization of trade promotion authority. Susan Schwab says the administration plans to seek a TPA renewal just as soon as Doha Round negotiators conclude an agreement on the framework for a WTO agricultural deal. TPA limits Congress to vote only up or down on negotiated trade deals. Meanwhile, 20 of 27 EU countries have rejected a WTO Doha compromise on agriculture. The plan would require the EU to go further than originally planned with cuts to import tariffs on farm products. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Radio, public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both of those programs can be found on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can download MP3 files of daily audio programming, as well as sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's at willag.org. Now up next, traders and farmers have been waiting, and they've been watching for signs that demand for corn is dropping as prices have worked higher. As you'll hear, it's not happening yet. There was a day recently in Chicago that some thought the beginning of the end had come. The trade spiked the price of corn higher and then finished lower on a series of rumors and ideas. But, as ag economist Daryl Good says, that just doesn't appear to be the swan song.
But, you know, that lasted for a few hours, basically, and then we're back into stronger markets. So it just, I think, is a testimony to the underlying strength in the fundamentals in these markets. We keep monitoring our pace of consumption to the degree that data is available, looking for signs that somebody is cutting back their rate of use, and we just don't see that at this point. Weekly export numbers right across the board remain strong. The monthly crush numbers on soybeans remain strong. And we think there may be some modest liquidation of hog numbers beginning, but for the time being, domestic feed demand looks to be very strong as well. So right across the board, you know, we kind of look for those red flags that consumers are beginning to back off, end users, but no signs at this point.
While USDA on the 8th of February did increase estimates for wheat and soybean exports, it did not do the same for corn, and that surprised Daryl Good.
I think a case could be made based on our current level of sales that we are on pace to exceed the projection, and we're more than 5 months into the marketing year with big shipments and big sales on the books. If those sales actually are followed through with actual shipments, I think we may need to see that number raised as well. So beginning to see some real tightness in domestic inventories.
The projected 07-08 ending stocks for corn are 1.438 billion bushels, unchanged from January. The wheat and soybean ending stocks now stand at 272 million and 160 million bushels, respectively. All three numbers are considered very tight as we head into the new growing season. Speaking of which, Daryl Good says it would be premature to ever talk about yearly highs being in for old crop futures under such a tight supply situation. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Time now to take our Wednesday look at the cash grain market. Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us this afternoon to talk about basis levels as they head to the southeast. Kay, we have a few new listeners on WHOW, the Big 1520 over in DeWitt County, AM 1520. They probably are not familiar maybe with Terre Haute or with you. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and the elevator there in Terre Haute to begin with.
Well, it's nice to always have new listeners, and I'm sure they'll be pleased. WILL has a lot of talent on there talking about what these markets might do, and we are on the close to the Illinois-Indiana state line, and we draw from about a eight-county area around here, handle quite a bit of grain, have a big customer turnout here, and we're part of the ConAgra organization. So welcome aboard to all the new listeners, Todd.
And one of the reasons that we talk to you is that you have a good line, a special rail line, actually, going to the southeast, and can tell us about demand there and how the basis levels are holding up into that part of the world.
Well, we are a 65 or 70 or 80-car train shipper. We ship corn and beans both by train. Basis levels are improving a little bit as farmers get all their two arrives in. Of course, January was big at all elevators, and we've bounced the basis back, probably 5 cents here in the last week or 10 days. And as they get ready to go to the field, I think that will even be better. Foreign demand is good. The exports are still good. The Chinese are still coming buying beans and products. So I think these bean basis will probably get a little bit better, too. We just have to be cautious of new crop bids, mainly because of margin calls these elevators are having to make on forward price contracts.
You mentioned getting ready to go to the field. You're a little bit further south from us, but not that much further south. Are farmers getting anxious already there?
No, not really. And, yeah, no, you guys are always in the fields long before we are. I think we're just ready for warm weather, whether they go to the field or not.
Yeah.
But they like these prices. They just don't seem to be as rambunctious as they normally are. I think they're just basking in the limelight of really finally having some money in their pockets and being able to spend a little bit more.
You know, are they finally getting, and I talked to Paul about this earlier, but it seems to me that at $4 and $5 corn seems to be feeling more normal at this point. I guess beans and the teens aren't quite there, but it's getting easier to talk about them.
Well, we're getting awfully close. And, you know, the only thing that concerns me is I'm just afraid that we've got a buying frenzy with these index funds buying these commodities. We've seen it in the crude oil. And, you know, if this continues, all this foreign money coming in here, I'm just afraid that they're talking the bean complex being the next wheat market. Who knows what beans can do because of Chinese demand. But, boy, you know, you get these prices too high, it's going to implode upon itself. And, you know, there'll be a reckoning days one of these days, Todd, and everybody's going to have to be kind of prepared for it if they can.
And speaking of prices, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn today is 508. Beans are $13.42, and new crop wheat is $8.45.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks much. And that is Kay Whitlock with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons to take a look at the cash grain market. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. If you'd like to listen to what Kay has to say again or what Paul had to say, you can do that right there on the website. Available as an MP3 file posted within half an hour or so of the end of the show. It's at willag.org. In 2 minutes, Drew Lerner will take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. This is the Closing Market Report.
It's National Cherry Pie Day. The origin of the day has been lost, but maybe George Washington has something to do with America's second most popular pie. When as a young boy, he made his famous quote, "I cannot tell a lie, I chopped down the cherry tree." On this day in agricultural history in 1829, Yingling Brewery on Center Street in Pottsville, Pennsylvania opened. The Eagle Brewery is the oldest still operating in the U.S. In 1872, Cyrus W. Baldwin received a patent for a vertical geared hydraulic electric elevator. It was installed in the Stevens Hotel in New York City. In 1872, Silas Noble and Jay Cooley of Massachusetts were issued a patent on a toothpick manufacturing machine. They've set up a factory in Strong, Maine, and machinery was developed to peel blocks of wood into long, thin ribbons. The ribbons were cut into toothpicks, which were moved by pitchfork into the sun to dry like hay. Then they were sorted and packed by hand. In 1873, on this date, Luther Childs Crowell of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, was granted a patent for a machine which made square-bottom paper bags. It's still the basic design that's used today. And in 2001, foot-and-mouth disease ravages livestock in Britain in the worst epidemic since 1967. By March, it has spread to mainland Europe. Millions of animals are destroyed, and the European Union banned export of meat and livestock for weeks. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the crops in South America.
Well, it looks like we're going to have a mix of weather issues going on in Brazil. It looks like heavy rains are going to occur for the latter part of this week, probably Friday on through the weekend in center-south portions of Brazil. This will go right across the interior southern sections from Mato Grosso do Sul into parts of southern Minas Gerais. This area is a very rich soybean country. It does need to see some drier weather because they've been wet in the past. This rain amount for the next week will probably run anywhere from 1 to 3 inches across this region, maybe some local amounts up around 4 inches. And the problem is it rains a little bit every day, and that's why there will probably be a slowdown in crop maturation and some concern over harvest progress. Further to the north, in the far northernmost parts of Brazil, including the areas that are really into the harvest right now, Mato Grosso and Goiás, it looks like 1 to 3 inch rains will occur there easily, but probably not until late in the weekend and early next week. We will look for southern Brazil to start drying out. This includes Rio Grande do Sul and portions of western Paraná and Santa Catarina northward into Paraguay. In fact, this drier bias that is expected to evolve later this weekend and going on through all of next week out into the first couple of days in March will also expand into eastern Argentina. And most of these crop areas will end up turning dry enough that a little crop stress may evolve that could threaten some of those late double crop beans in Argentina, especially the eastern part of Argentina, and may also be an issue for some of the pod-filling soybeans in Rio Grande do Sul northward into Paraguay. So maybe eventually we're going to run into a little bit of crop stress that might actually have some impact on these South American crop areas. Meanwhile, westernmost Argentina will get plenty of rain coming up over the next several days with some locally intense rains on the western fringes of crop country.
Now, speaking of stressed, I was a little stressed this morning here in the Midwest when I got up. It was awfully cold.
Yeah, nasty out there, indeed. How much longer is this going to go on? It looks like, well, we're going to probably find a couple more waves of cold air coming southward out of Canada over the next week to 10 days. Well, nothing quite as punishing as what we had this morning. We had temperatures below 30 degrees below zero in the Red River Valley of the north. The heart of the Midwest was certainly cold, but not quite that cold. It looks like the forecast here is going to continue to offer some seesawing in temperatures along with some precipitation periodically that is likely to lead us into the spring season with a lot of moisture in the ground, and that's going to raise some concerns when we get about a month or so down the road about the planting potentials for the heart of the region.
And then maybe you should check in on China. Tell me how they're doing on subsoil moistures. Had a lot of it there for a while in the middle of winter. Have they recovered?
That's right. The stormy conditions in China have subsided tremendously. In fact, weather is back to the more typical ho-hum pattern that usually occurs in the winter time there. But there is a lot of moisture in the ground, and there is plenty of potential for these winter crops, both wheat and rapeseed, to respond when we start getting some warming to take place. In another few weeks, we'll probably see some aggressive early season crop development take place. And I think that rapeseed that everybody keeps wanting to write off will actually recover to a large degree. So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a great day.
Yep. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated. This has been the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.